the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and goal!
We are so excited to have Sam Hatcher, the author of Heisman's First Trophy, the game that launched football in the South. Sam Hatcher, thank you so much for joining Walk It Off. How are you doing today?
I'm just fine. I really appreciate you having me as your guest today. Thank you.
Well, of course. So we have to talk about this book that you've written, because the 100-year anniversary of the game Georgia Tech and Cumberland is on October 7th. And you are from Lebanon, Tennessee. And so right away, I want to know, how did you decide to write this incredible historical book?
Well, it's really... I knew the anniversary was approaching. I'm a member of the Board of Trust at Cumberland, and quite frankly, you know, when you mention the game to a lot of folks, and it's actually a trivia pursuit question, you know, on the trivia pursuit game, it's on a lot of game shows on TV. You'll often hear, you know, what was the most lopsided score in football? And people say, well, it was the Georgia Tech-Cumberland game, and Georgia Tech won 222-0. That usually gets a chuckle out of a lot of folks when they hear that. And I knew there was much more to this story than just Cumberland getting beat by such a lopsided score. So last summer, the early part of July of last year, I set out to do some research myself and sort of put together some notes. And I wasn't convinced at the time that I wanted to write the book, until I really got into doing the research and found out there are a great number of backstories to the big story that made it, you know, worthwhile to write the book.
That is fascinating. That is so great. And Sam, this is Ashley. Thank you again for joining us. I have a question, though. Why is it just a trivia question? Why? I feel like with a famous coach and such an insane score, I'm surprised this hasn't really gone down in history nationwide.
Well, you know, that's really interesting, and it may be more of an event for Southern football than for the North and Northeast. Although I often have watched on TV, and if on ESPN, for example, if Georgia Tech is playing on a Saturday afternoon and they're playing at Grant Field in Atlanta, lots of times the announcer or the commentator will say, you know, it was on Grant Field so many years ago that Georgia Tech beat Cumberland University 222-0. So, you know, the game has gotten quite a bit of, I would call it, notoriety in the South particularly, and I'm not so sure it's that way in the North maybe, and which is really sort of an interesting sidebar to the story, because the game really opened up the gates for recognition of football teams in the South because of the score, largely because of the score. And I sort of talk about that in the book. At the time in the early period of football, college football, most of the national champions came from the North and the Northeast, Penn State and Pennsylvania and Army and Harvard and many of the Ivy League schools. And really, because of the score of this game, it got so much press attention and so much press coverage, you know, the result was that a lot of the print media in the Northeast said, you know, wow, they must be playing some really good football in the South if one team could beat another one by 222 points.
Yeah, I was curious to see if down South, if you guys have a saying or something referencing this game, like they got Georgia Tech or something like that.
No, I don't know that there's really, you know, it's, you know, a lot of it, I think a lot of people have said it's sort of like Sherman marching through Georgia. You know, there's been a lot of references like that with scores it is. So, but I don't know if there's actually any sort of a saying you can tag to the game itself. You know, the game had no first downs in it, which is absolutely amazing. You think about playing four quarters of football and having zero first downs. I mean, that's an amazing statistic in and of itself.
And Sam, Georgia Tech did something that's never been repeated in beating Cumberland 222-0. And John Heisman, I'm wondering, what do you think he would say about the teams in the South now and how they're playing and how college football has shaped up? What do you think he would say if he was here today?
Well, you know, that's really an interesting question. I think Heisman would be really proud of seeing teams like Alabama and some of the teams that are using the spread offenses. You know, he was such an innovator himself that, you know, he created the T formation. He created the forward pass. He created the hidden ball trick play that was, you know, soon outlawed after he created that play. But, you know, he was such an innovator himself in football. I think he would be really, really proud of the way really football teams all over the nation are playing. But, you know, I think he would be extremely impressed with the spread offenses and the fast playing of the game. I think he would be – I think he would love that and embrace that, to be honest with you.
Hey, this is Gemma, another different voice. So this book is full of just really delightful historical anecdotes. So I'm wondering what your the most unusual thing you discovered was when you were researching this book.
You know, that's a really good question. And I was asked that actually yesterday, and I gave this answer, and I could tell it didn't really resonate much with the person that I gave the answer to, but it struck me that Georgia Tech had almost 1,000 yards of offense in the game, and they ran only 28 plays, which I think is just really amazing. But there are a lot of things in the book that I didn't know. For instance, during this period in football, the team that was scored on, which, of course, Georgia Tech scored on Cumberland every time Georgia Tech had the ball, and Cumberland had the option to either kick or receive the next kickoff. And I didn't know that. I just assumed, you know, that as it is now, that the team that was scored on always received the next kickoff. But that wasn't the case in 1916. So Cumberland elected several times during the game to kick back to Georgia Tech after they'd been scored on by Tech. They just turned around and kicked the ball back to Tech. Which is sort of crazy, you know, and I didn't know that. There are a lot of just really small things about the game that you know, I wasn't aware of. For instance, there was one report that perhaps it was the first game where the huddle was used, and Cumberland players would gather in a huddle after each play sort of to catch their breath and to see, you know, how many of them were still there and how many of them could run the next play. There were only 14 players for Cumberland in the game. So, you know, they didn't have but three players sitting on the sidelines. So they would come back and gather in a huddle. And, there's been said that this was the first place where the huddle actually was introduced to football, this game did. But, you know, there are just so many, like, sidebar stories to the big story. John Heisman, which a lot of people don't realize this, Cumberland had beaten – John Heisman was also the baseball coach at Georgia Tech and had a nationally ranked baseball team in the spring of 1916. And they the Tech team played Cumberland in the spring of 1916, which was, you know, only a few months before this football game was played. And Cumberland beat Georgia Tech in baseball 22-0. And it really, really embarrassed John Heisman. It really embarrassed him because he had a nationally ranked team. But the truth of the matter is, the student manager for the baseball team at Cumberland had gone to Nashville and gotten some semi-pro players out of Nashville to play on the Cumberland baseball team. And Heisman found out about that and promised that day that he would get revenge. Of course, no one knew it was going to come in the fall when he played them in football and was going to beat them 222-0. So Cumberland had disbanded its football program, and a lot of people don't realize this. Cumberland had actually disbanded its football program and was not going to play a football schedule in 1916 and had notified everyone on their schedule to play all the other colleges that they weren't going to have a team and would not be playing a full football schedule in the fall, and they failed to notify Georgia Tech. They just overlooked it. It was just a simple mistake. They just failed to notify Tech. So when the game was rolling around and getting close to being played, Cumberland realized they hadn't notified Tech that they didn't have a team, so they sent a letter to John Heisman in Georgia Tech and said, look, we don't have a team this year, so, you know, we're not going to play football this year. And Heisman and Tech wrote back and said, no, you're going to play this game. And they said, no, we can't. We don't have a team. And Heisman said, no, you're going to play the game or we're going to sue you for breach of contract. And if that had happened, if that lawsuit had been filed, that likely would have bankrupted Cumberland University and probably closed its doors forever. So, the real story behind this is that these 14 Kappa Sig fraternity brothers at Cumberland University said, we're going to save our school, and we're going to get on a train, and we're going to go to Atlanta and play Georgia Tech in football in order to save our university. So, that's sort of the background to the story.
That is so dramatic. That is just, there's so many different elements all involved in that. It's a revenge tale. It's also like the most inspiring sports movie where the underdog loses that you've ever heard.
I know it. I love that part of it. I just love that part of it. I just think that it is so neat that, they did this. The guy that led Cumberland's team was a guy by the name of George Allen. And what was really sort of fascinating about George Allen is he became a confidant, advisor to four U.S. presidents and was really close friends with Dwight Eisenhower. And actually, George Allen was a Democrat, which I think is sort of interesting in today's political world. But George Allen later became the Secretary Treasury of the National Democratic Party. But even so, he and Dwight Eisenhower were close friends and played golf together quite frequently. And that makes sort of even a different angle on the story. The book starts out with Dwight Eisenhower and George Allen playing golf together in Washington on a golf course called Burning Tree. And Burning Tree, they played golf there a lot, according to what I learned from the Eisenhower Library. And Burning Tree is a real exclusive private club. And one of the Burning Tree has only one rule. And the rule is no women are allowed at Burning Tree. And only 2 days out of the year can women come on the premises at Burning Tree. But that's where George Allen and Eisenhower played golf a lot. So that's where the story sort of begins. And then, George Allen, this is in 1960, and George Allen tells Eisenhower, he says, I remember what I was doing on this day 44 years ago. It was on October the 7th, 1916, that I was in Atlanta playing football. And playing Georgia Tech in football for Cumberland University. So, it makes sort of a neat story from that standpoint.
That just sounds like there are so many different threads and ideas running through this, and that maybe you could have written several different books after as well, just like full of these stories, which are just so fascinating.
Well, that's probably true. There are probably several other books that can be written about this,
Sam, with every layer, we are silently losing our minds every time you give us a new layer of the story. We're just reacting in such a way. It's so funny.
So tell people where they can buy your book so that we can all read this together.
Yeah, I hope they will. And I think they'll find, whether you're a football fan in the Northeast or a football fan in the South, I think you'll find there's a lot of football history to the book and a lot of things that people would be interested in if you're a football fan or just really a history fan. There's so much history in the book. But you can buy the book online at Amazon or online Barnes & Noble. And Books A Million carries the book. And it's really available at, wherever books are sold. But Amazon and Barnes & Noble for sure.
So everyone make sure to look for Heisman's First Trophy by Sam Hatcher wherever books are sold. It sounds delightful.
Amazing.
And thank you again so much, Sam, for coming and telling us all these great stories today.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate you having me. Thank you so very much.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, Donald.